everyone, this is Anya, and this episode will be about colorism, specifically colorism in the media. So, it's been a while since I did this episode. It's last week, but yeah, I feel like it's been a while because I've had so much going on lately in my personal life, but also just the fact that I haven't been able to think of anything until today. I just want to give a shout out to this new little thing that I just joined, the YWCA in New York City. They have given me a safe space, not a safe space, but a brave space to talk about me, my feelings, who I am. And I just met an amazing group of girls who share the same interests of activism and liberation as I do. And it was just amazing to sit there and be in that room and be around so many like-minded individuals, and they actually inspired me to do the segment on colorism. So for those of you who don't know, colorism is basically when one prefers a lighter skin tone or facial features that are closer to European standards. Now, colorism is not only an issue in the general media and in society, but it's also a big issue within the Black community. For some reason, we still see women who are lighter skinned with curls that aren't as coiled and tight as 4C hair, maybe like 2B or 3A, to be perceived as more beautiful, more accepting. And, you know, that really is an issue for the fact that now we are racist towards our own people. You know, we say that Black community is strong and we stand together, but at the same time we're here criticizing one another for, oh, your skin tone is too dark, oh, your hair is too curly. And that really is a big issue for a group of people that are supposed to be one with each other, together, and fighting along aside another. We are attacking one another in the terms of, you're lighter than me, or you're darker than me, and that's an issue, which it's not. You know, if you're Black, you're Black. There are different shades of Black people. Black people comes in all shapes and sizes, you know, with different types of hair, with different eye colors. And we shouldn't be attacking each other all because we look different from one another. You know, we keep saying Black Lives Matter. And it's a movement for us. It's a movement for the Black community. But if we're the ones that are tearing each other apart from the inside out, then the movement is going to crumble, and we're going to crumble as a society because we can't even uplift each other because of the basis that my friend is lighter than the other. Now, when it comes to colorism in the media, we are still at that point where we are choosing light-skinned actors for dark-skinned roles. It was something that I was talking about today at YWCA, where we were talking about Amandla Steinberg in her recent movie, give me a second, The Hate U Give. And I hadn't read the book or seen the movie, but one of the girls did bring up a really good point about how in the movie, Amandla is posing as the main character, Star. And Amandla, she's a light-skinned girl. She has what some people might call very Eurocentric features to some extent. While in the book, Star is actually a Black-ass girl. She is someone who has really dark skin, who really has that Afrocentric look, the way she speaks, the way she carries herself. It's all very Afrocentric, but then in the movie, you have Amandla, who is much lighter than the character should be being portrayed, and she's playing Star. And that's what got some of the girls upset today. And what gets them even more upset is the fact that Amandla, she talks about colorism in the media all the time, but she's actually helping to advance it by taking roles that are meant for dark-skinned women with her light girl self. Now, personally, I have nothing against Amandla. That was an opinion of another girl that I spoke to today. But at the same time, I see where they're coming from. As much as we expect other women around us to stand up for us and to be with us, if they're contributing to the issue, they are the issue. You know, we keep trying to fight like Black Panther. That was a whole movement not one light-skinned person in that movie except for the two white guys that were in it. And the fact that people, the movie was getting shit back, like the cast was overwhelmingly black. That was the purpose. And if it had been done any other way, then it probably would have been a disgrace. You know, we need movies like Black Panther. We need animated films such as Spider-Man coming into the Spider-Verse with all of the ethnically rich and diverse characters. We have Miles, who is an African American young boy. To see something like that in Black Panther and theaters in the media, that is what we have been looking for so long. But then at the same time, if we keep proceeding with the, light skin versus dark skin issue, that will escalate the problem even further. Now, me personally, I didn't really think about colorism and how it affected me in my childhood until today with YWCA. I won't mention them a lot today because it's only been one day that I've been with them and they totally changed my life and my perspective. But yeah, I really remember growing up hating the color of my skin, really hating how dark I was. You know, I always wanted to be lighter as a little girl. I would purposely, like on a really sunny day during the summer, I would purposely stay out the sun to prevent myself from getting darker because I knew if you're in the sun, you'll get darker, you'll get a tan. And I remember saying to myself when I was younger, oh, when I'm an adult, I'm gonna bleach my skin. And, you know, now that I think about it, it hurts that I was even thinking about those thoughts because now that I'm older, I love my dark skin. I actually want to be darker in a lot of instances, you know. And growing up as a kid, as there were shows that did promote the black community, it wasn't the same when it came to our toys. You know, with toys, it was really a big line that was drawn when it came between, quote unquote, normal toys and then the toys that were meant for the black community. They weren't a lot. I remember Barbie used to be, it still is my favorite toy brand. And I remember I got this Barbie doll and I felt weird having it because the color of the skin tone made me feel uneasy because I didn't even like my own skin tone. It has similar skin tone to me. So I was like, oh, this is making me feel uneasy. And not only that, I felt like I just got the wrong doll because I didn't get the one with the right skin tone. You know, when in reality, one, there is no right skin tone, and two, the fact that I'm so uncomfortable in my skin to have a doll that resembles me and that's making me uncomfortable, that shows another problem in society where we aren't teaching our kids to love ourselves. And I'm not gonna lie and say that, kids automatically recognize what's the issue because, we're kids, we don't automatically recognize things, we don't automatically understand things until we grow up. But just putting the thought and the idea of self-acceptance, especially with your skin tone as a child, the more that they experience and the older that they get, they will realize the truth behind the things that they have been told since they were younger. And that black is beautiful, skin is beautiful. And we shouldn't have to be lighter to accept ourselves or to accept other people or be accepted. And we were also talking about the Latina community that don't want to accept the blackness within them. Now, let me just say up front, if you don't agree with me, I'm not here to be agreed with. I'm here to be heard. I'm here to have people woke, okay? Latinas are black. Hispanics are black. Historically, there were African slaves brought into the Caribbean by the Spaniards and by the other Europeans. And honey, that means you're black to some degree. You know, if you literally logically think about it, all those years ago, the natives and Africans were gonna fuck. End of story. Now you have black culture in your blood. Now, there is this issue with the Latinx community talking about, oh, I'm not black, but you got those thick, curvy hips, you got that 4C hair, you got that dark, medium dark skin, and they want to be like, oh, I'm not black, but you are black. And it's not even the Black community, but just like Latinx community in general. All colored communities at some point want to conform themselves to European standards, because that's what we've been trained to do. Our ancestors have been trained to do, to be like European white women, whether it's to have lighter skin, a certain nose shape, to have straight hair. You know, there are girls literally going around, as much as there is a natural hair movement going on right now, straightening their hair. And they're doing it for the sole purpose of looking normal, quote-unquote normal, feeling quote-unquote normal, and just, you know, trying to fit in. In reality, your curls are beautiful. You are naturally beautiful, and we shouldn't have to conform to European standards. And that's a whole nother fact of colorism, where we are sitting here trying to conform to a European standard of beauty. In reality, we as a culture have our own standards of beauty, but because we have been oppressed for so long, we know nothing else but to follow the white woman's view or the white man's view of what beauty is. And, you know, going back to our hair especially, there were laws back way back when that it was illegal for a Black woman to show her natural hair, which is where the hair wraps came in. The head wraps, using different cloths, different fabrics. You know, it's a style for many Black women now, which I do take part of, but the history of it is that it was illegal for us to show our natural hair texture, and so we had to hide it. Moving fast forward into the 1950s, during the Jim Crow era, in order for a Black woman to get a job, she had to straighten her hair, make it resemble a white woman's hair, because they didn't want her natural texture to be showing all up in the workplace. Fast forward to today, and New York City, it is now illegal to discriminate against one's natural hair texture, because believe it or not, hair texture discrimination does happen in the world. But lucky for us New Yorkers, it's illegal for that to happen to us. And really, it's just, colorism is everywhere. Colorism is there whether we like it or not, and colorism is still what runs this world. You know, as an activist, I push for so many things to change, and I now realize, because of YWCA, yes, that colorism is now an issue on my agenda, because believe it or not, colorism affects me now, even if I don't think about it. You know, I feel like even now, just thinking about it, I can't really think of a specific incident where I faced colorism, except for my childhood when I wanted to be dark, wanted to be lighter, excuse me, but you know, it's around me, and maybe in the future, in the near future, I will face an attack of colorism on myself, on my body. Whether it's on social media, or personally up front, or low-key, like, throwing shade colorism at me, it will happen. And, you know, being a Black woman that likes, I have an attraction towards white men, you know, it's not impossible to find a white man who respects you, respects your culture and your identity. They will never understand what we go through as a Black community. And for them to be cognizant of that issue and that struggle, that is the best way for them to help and support us. Now, I'm not looking for a stereotypical radical white man. Oh, this is wrong. I want them to be doing that because, one, they love me, and one, and two, they support me. You know, and everyone has their own thing. They have their own, you know, desires and stuff. But personally, I want a white guy. That's just it. But if I ever see him contributing to colorism, and the off topic, but actually it's not off topic. There has been a lot of debate about Black people marrying white people just to produce light-skinned babies. And for me, that would not be true. I do not want a white man because I just want to make a light-skinned baby. In fact, I would want the darkest baby possible to come out of my vagina to continue the movement, continue the effort, so I can teach him or her to love themselves. But you know, that is a thing going around with black men and women marrying white men and women, or women and men of lighter skin tone, purposely to produce lighter skin children. And personally, that's more of a personal statement, more of an issue that you would need to discuss personally with the one-on-one, with the person that you think is doing it. Because, you know, people do marry for love, but that sounds like something that people would do. And I understand, like, being black in America is hard, you know, and for the fact that colorism is still really prevalent, being lighter may seem like a safer option to some people. So they think, oh, if my child is lighter, they'll be safer, which I understand, but, you know, whatever, whoever you decide to marry and whatever, you know, skin tone your child comes in, teach them to be radical with that skin tone and teach them to love themselves with that skin tone, because it really will be them at the end of the day dealing with the world and dealing with whatever the world throws at them. So I was just looking up questions about colorism, and one really stuck out to me, and I will be answering this off of the top of my head as things come. It was asking if there are such things as dark skin privilege. Now, this is actually the first time I'm actually hearing about something such as dark skin privilege. And, you know, what privilege do we get? Send me a voice message for an experience that you've had that proves dark skin privilege exists. Because personally, right now, I cannot think of any situation where me being dark has benefited me. You know, in a lot of cases, it's mostly light skin or white skin privilege that is really floating around in the society. But dark skin privilege, you know, and I can't even say that that exists in our own community, because, hello, colorism. Like, we still benefit off of the light skin people in our own community, like the black community. If you're lighter, if you're whiter, you've got it. You know, you're there. But if you're darker, then you still got to struggle. You're still kind of a few steps back behind that lighter skinned black man or woman or non-gender conforming person. You know, so really, if you think that dark skin privilege exists, let me know and give me an example, because I honestly can't think of a time or an issue where I have seen or personally experienced dark skin privilege in my life. Like, I don't even think that's, like, an existing thing. It really isn't. Whether it's in the general community or in our own little personal small communities, the light-skinned person always wins. The light-skinned person is always the one that has the most power walking into a room, whether you're perceived as white or not. It's always the lighter-skinned person that is seen with the most power, that has the most influence, that's the most educated. And that was another thing we were talking about today, too, at YWCA of New York City, that people are shocked when a dark-skinned person sounds intelligent. Like, first of all, that is rude, disrespectful, and racist all in one. Why is that I can be a dark-skinned girl coming from, like, even community-wise, like, this one girl, she was talking about how, and I'm saying girl because they all use the pronouns she, her, hers, but yeah, this one girl, she was talking about how, you know, she goes to a majority white school. People there around her would be like, oh my gosh, she sounds so articulate for someone coming from the Bronx. And I'm just like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, just because I'm black, have dark skin, curly hair, and come from the Bronx doesn't mean I'm stupid. You know, and I was fortunate enough to grow up in a family, in a community, in a school community where, you know, that wasn't the case, where I was seen as bright, articulate, where I was seen to have the natural features of common sense that people think black people lack just because they're black. And they're surprised with the way I speak, how I sound so humble, and for my ethnicity and for my age. And ageism is a totally another conversation that I will get to in another episode. But, you know, at the end of the day, they're shocked. They're shocked that I sound so smart, so articulate, that I have manners, that I know what to say, how to dress, how to walk, how to speak. Why does that shock you? Why does the fact that a young black girl knows how to act, quote unquote, properly in society shock you? Like, that shouldn't shock you. It should be the norm now. Like, yeah, I'm coming from the South Bronx. Yeah, it might be quote unquote ghetto, but just because we're from those places doesn't mean we haven't received education, doesn't mean we haven't have common sense. That just doesn't mean we haven't been taught basic shit from our mothers and fathers. And it's sad that people think just because we're a certain color or from a certain area that we're not intelligent. Sometimes people see my grades, they're just like, "Oh my gosh, you're so high." I'm like, "Are they not supposed to be high?" Like, I've never personally asked why someone asks that question or acted like that, whether it's because of my age, of my grade, of my ethnicity, my background, whatever. But it shouldn't be surprising. It should be the norm. Like, we are still living in that stereotype that black people don't have no common sense, that they don't know how to act, that they're just a bunch of ghetto hood rats that pat their weaves, which is not true. We are intelligent, living, diverse human beings that have an opinion, and we are articulate. We know how to say yes, no, please, thank you. We know how to formulate a speech. We know how to write an essay. We know how to fill out a resume. Like, we aren't stupid. We aren't dumb. And it doesn't mean the lighter that you are, the smarter that you are, or the darker you are, the dumber you are. It's that we are smart no matter what our skin tone is. We shouldn't be surprised around other people just because they can say this or pronounce that. Or it's like, it shouldn't, that should not exist. But unfortunately, it does. And we have to combat stuff like that because at the end of the day, it will come back to us. And, I'm annoyed by it personally, people being surprised of my grades that don't know me. Like, why does it surprise you? And I'll admit, my high school isn't the best. The kids there aren't the best. The grades aren't the best, like, overall in the school wise. But, if you see me with like a 93 average, that should not surprise you. You shouldn't be sitting there like, "Wow, oh my gosh, she's so smart." Like, fuck yeah, I'm smart. And it has nothing to do with my skin tone or my hair. Like, the way I dress, the way I act, the way I speak. One, it shouldn't surprise you. And two, that shouldn't deter you from thinking I have a high level of intelligence just because some stereotype that you have been feeding off of for the last few years or decades. I shouldn't be something I have to worry about, but unfortunately it does. I have to prove myself and my intelligence to the outside communities that don't know me, all because of the fact that I have dark skin, I'm from the South Bronx, and I'll admit my hair is a little nappy. I gotta be rough with it sometimes, but since when does not having nappy hair means that you're stupid? Because I know a lot of nappy hair girls in my school, and they're smart as hell. They make the honor roll every single marking period, 95s and above, 90s and above, and they're not stupid. We are not stupid as a community. We might seem stupid, but that's because we have been undereducated for hundreds of years. We have been neglected as a persons, as a peoples, for hundreds of years. And if you think that can justify us looking or sounding stupid, white people, colonization, the whole patriarchal, systematic European oppression is the reason why we might seem like that, because you people, you as in the Europeans and white people, have been putting us down for centuries and decades. And we have had to slowly rise up and come out of that. And our stupidity, if you think we're stupid, is only caused by you. It's only caused by you saying they're not allowed to read, they can't write, oh, they can't vote. Oh, let's give them equality but not equity. Let's give them a school, but make sure it only has three or four books for a class of 50. Like, you Europeans are the reason why the black community is struggling. And y'all like to be going to Africa and taking pictures with these starving children. Well, guess what? Y'all are the reason why they're starving. Especially, look at Haiti, for example. They were colonized by, I believe it's the French, correct me if I'm wrong. The French took all of the trees in their land, and now it's like a whole barren landscape. And on the other side of the island, you have, what, the Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico, I can't remember. One of those two countries looking all lush and beautiful, while Haiti's sitting here, looking scrappy. And you can blame us for all these faults, but in reality, it's the colonization and the colorism that has played a role over all of these years, all of these, generations. And yeah, we have to slowly come out of that. But the more that you push us back, the more that you say no to this, no to that, we have to not only fight against that, but slowly stumble forward. And if you think that we're dumb just because black people are dumb, dark skinned people are dumb, we are dumb because you people made us dumb. End of story. White people made the black community dumb by neglecting them, by making them slaves, by making them seem like they were animals. The white community made the black community seem like they're dumb. End of story. And for all the light-skinned people out there, nothing against y'all, but the fact that some of y'all don't want to admit that you're black, you try to act like you're of a higher status all because you have lighter skin, you're feeding into the problem too. You're also helping make the dark-skinned community dumb. You guys are the ones that are helping our oppression. As much as you say you're black for the cause, you're black because you feel black, whatever nonsense y'all can come up with. Unless you are fighting for us and with us, with your power that you naturally have for being born light skin, you're adding to the issue. You're just literally adding to the issue and making it worse. Definitely. So, as a final word, one, I would like to say thank you again for YWCA for having me today. It was such an amazing experience and a real eye-opener. But to end the conversation with colorism, that's something that really has to change. And, yes, for those viewers who don't know, I am black, black and proud. If you just want to unsubscribe from this just because you found out I'm black, you racist fuck, go ahead. But this is a revolution, not just for me, but for other minority groups around the country and around the world that are listening to this. We are so undermined by white communities. I shouldn't be perceived as dumb just because I have dark skin. I shouldn't be perceived as ghetto because of the way I have my hair. And I do have people who look at me on the train like, oh my gosh, you're probably so ghetto. And I'm probably smarter than you, for all calling me ghetto. So that has to stop. All of this colorism, it has to stop. And for all you people being put in a position, like all you black actors and stuff being put in some movies, don't take the role because you want it. I mean, I'm not saying to do what you not do what you love. I mean, you're doing it for a reason. You're a fucking actor, but I'm saying to use your position to advance what's right. If you are auditioning for a movie with several roles, choose the role that's meant for you. Choose the role that fits with your physical person. Because at the end of the day, you might be able to emotionally connect with that character, be that character. But if you don't physically look like that character, and mind you, people already have this idea in mind because it's based off a book, you are only adding to colorism. And for Mandela, I have no issue with her, but I do see the problem where she is also only adding to colorism. Now, I hope that in future roles she will, come to, realizing the issue that she's in, that she's promoting, even though she's wanting to fighting against it. And just realize that if there's a dark skin role, let me just step back, step out of it, because it's not for me to portray that dark skin woman as the light skinned person that I am. And shout out I don't even remember which actress it was, but shout out to all the actors and actresses in general, all the light-skinned actors and actresses that were offered a role in Black Panther and denied it. You helped to make that movie the movie it was by denying those roles. You knew that you would only be advancing colorism from my point of view, and that you just wouldn't play the part and allowed darker skinned male females and gender nonconforming peoples to fill those roles and properly represent the Black community and Wakanda. And y'all, let me tell you something. Wakanda was real. I pull up real quick. I don't care. It's really just an issue we all have to work on together. We have to stop being racist against one another. We can complain about the white man being racist towards us all we want. But right now, to a certain extent, our biggest racial issue is ourselves. We are fighting one another because of the fact that she or he or they are darker than me, or lighter than me. And those pose serious societal threats within their community, believe it or not. And if that continues, we will just crumble as a whole if we keep fighting one another like this. So thank you for listening to my podcast today. Again, I don't know what I will be doing next week, but probably YWCA will be inspiring again to me, to give me a topic to work on. But if you download the app called Anchor, which is my main platform for my podcast, you will be able to send, voice messages to me personally. I can upload them into my next podcast. You will hear yourself asking questions. You can ask questions. You can recommend a topic for me to talk about, or you can just ask me personal questions. I have no problem answering them. I'm open book, so ask away. Thanks for listening again. I hope to see you here next week.